Undercover Carson, Secret Agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
Chaco was one of the six scientists who had come to South America with the Death Ray secret, and he seemed to have had marked success in gathering the information. He had only to get what the mysterious Cossack knew, and then it seemed he could assemble this ghastly weapon. But to us, Chaco remained a shadow, a voice. However, it seemed that he'd been following Sally Bruin, and things looked very grim and lively when Sally phoned Sir Giles to say that he was lurking close at hand once again. She was suddenly terrified, saying that he was coming over to her, when the line went dead. Moments later, I was out of the Davenport apartment and on my way to a cafe in Rua de Gloria. Sally was there at a corner table, alone and frightened.
Oh, thank goodness, Bruce. Thank goodness you've arrived.
Where is he?
He just vanished.
Vanished, you say?
Yes. A few seconds after he cut off the phone.
Now, let's get this straight, Sally. You phoned Sir Giles to say that this fellow, small, dark, with piercing eyes, was following you again.
That's right. And I said that he was coming over to me. Next thing, I was cut off. There was just nothing I could do about it.
What an incredible way to carry on.
Oh, Bruce, he's such a terrifying person, but I know now why he's been following me.
Then why?
Because I know you.
Because you know me? What difference does that make?
Oh, Bruce, you've been so very good to me, and I've tried not to be curious, but, well, I have noticed things. What you do, for instance.
Well, I'm the representative of a British meat importing firm. Nothing more.
I know that, and yet...
And yet what? Come on.
Well, you seem to have other interests. Please don't be annoyed with me for saying this.
Annoyed? Perish the thought.
But you look so serious.
Yes, I am. Situation's serious when a young creature like you is followed and frightened by a sinister stranger. Yes, but these other interests of mine...
Well, I'm putting this very awkwardly, I know, but I rather have the feeling that you may be engaged in something, well, something secret.
Oh, nonsense.
You are annoyed with me.
Certainly not. Just trying to fathom out how you could come by this notion.
Well, Roger asked all sorts of questions about you.
Yeah. What's the great Deauville been up to this time?
Oh, where you were, what you did. It made me wonder. And now this dark man.
Well, look, let's forget these imagined interests of mine, and let's hear more about him. He came over, cut short your phone conversation, and what then?
He said to tell you that he was arranging an unpleasant surprise for you.
For me?
Yes, Bruce. Next thing, he... Well...
Vanished, as you said.
Not exactly. You see, I was so dazed and scared, I really didn't know what was happening. Before I knew anything, he was out of the cafe.
Well, tell me more about this chappie.
Well, there's nothing to tell.
Well, his voice, for instance.
He spoke English, though with an accent.
Mm, any special accent?
Well, I rather thought it was European.
European, I see.
It was all so strange here in this cafe that I wondered whether it really happened.
Mm, seemed like imagination, perhaps.
I suppose it did.
Sir Giles will be interested to hear all this.
Oh, but he's heard.
Oh? How so?
I phoned him, but you'd gone.
Oh, yes, of course.
He said to wait here until you arrived. The time did seem to go slowly, but then it always does when one's upset.
Oh, well, everything's all right now.
But it isn't. This man said he was preparing a very unpleasant surprise for you.
Oh, yes, as you said a moment ago. Must be a rival importer.
A rival what?
Importer. Meat business, you know. My bread and butter. I must tell you all about it. Convince you that it's the sole interest in my life. Though, I must admit, I am engaged in something secret.
I've had that feeling, Bruce.
But only secret thoughts about you, Sally.
Oh, Bruce, you do say the most ridiculous things.
Of course I do. Howsoever...
Bruce, look who's coming in.
No, not the small duck.
No, no. You're Angelo.
What the dickens is he doing here?
Senor Carson, forgive me for disturbing you, but you must come with me at once.
Well, what's all this about? I thought you were at the airport, picking up that friend of ours.
Indeed, Senor, but our friend has unfortunately met with an accident.
Aubrey Dent has?
I fear so, Senor.
Where? On the plane? Or the airport?
No. As we step out of the car outside the apartment building of His Excellency.
Oh.
What now, Sally?
I was just thinking, Bruce. That man who followed me...
He mentioned something about this?
No. Only this might be the unpleasant surprise he'd had to warn you about.
Warning's a little late, I'm afraid. But tell you about the meat importing business some other time, Sally. Come on, Angelio. Let's go. As the Davenport Rolls took us through the crowded Rio streets, the wide boulevards, I didn't have time to ponder on the problem of young Sally Bruin. Major Aubrey Dent was bringing us information vital to our search. Someone, possibly Charco, had made a desperate effort to put him out of the way. As Angelo kept saying when we were back at the apartment ourselves...
Senor Excellency, Senor Major Dent, step out of the car, and the next moment he slowly crumpled to the ground.
You didn't hear the shot?
No, nothing, Senor. Not even the whisper of a bullet.
Whoever did this was using a silencer, no doubt.
So, Sir Giles. But what's the verdict?
Well, Carson, we have the benefit of our medical friend once again. He says he'd be much happier if poor Dent was in a hospital.
That doesn't suit us, though.
It certainly does not. Besides some unwelcome publicity, there's every chance that our rival, whoever he or she might be on this occasion, will finish the job. Poor old Dent, the bullet grazed his temple and cut quite a deep furrow.
And he's out to it?
Oh, yes. The doctor gave him an injection of some sort. It'll be a matter of hours before he's in any fit condition to impart any information he has.
Yes, and apparently someone's pretty worried as to what that information might be.
Exceedingly concerned.
Excellency, as I drove with Senor Dent from the airport, he asked many questions of me. About the photographs, for instance.
Oh, the photographs of the feminine opposition. Faye, Sally, and Helena Jansen, and so forth.
I see.
But he received them, of course.
Oh, indeed, Excellency. But he said to me that they are proved of great value.
Ah, he did, be jokes.
And he inquired of me what part I played in the securing of them.
So that's how it came up.
And might I say, Senor Carson, that on this occasion I give full credit to your pipe.
Oh, yes, a miniature camera.
Must you drag out another pipe, Carson?
Well, this one's perfectly harmless.
That fierce-looking object again?
Oh, you've seen my Cyclops camera before, haven't you?
Yes, of course. But why the deuce are you carrying it around now?
Why? Mr. Giles, when I went out to that cafe, I thought there was a chance of meeting Charco. A chance of getting a photo of him.
Oh, I get it.
Howsoever, it seems we're to hear something of interest concerning the snaps of the lovely ladies.
Yes, I keep trying to tell myself that Dent will be all right. But he did look very sick. That deuced phone does make you jump when you're all keyed up.
I'll answer it, perhaps, sir.
Yes, please do, Carson.
Hello?
Oh, it's you, Bruce.
Oh, Sally.
Now, what might she want this time?
We'll soon find out.
Bruce, are you there?
Yes, of course. But to what do we owe this very pleasant surprise?
Well, I hope you won't be angry with me or think I'm prying, but I keep thinking about that friend of yours.
You do, eh?
Yes. You know, flying all the way from London and then arriving and getting involved in some accident so soon. I was just wondering how he is.
Well, he's fine.
Then it wasn't so serious after all.
Oh, heavens no, only a trifle.
But from the way Angelo was acting, I thought something terrible had happened.
Oh, you know how he is. Always exaggerating.
Oh, you know, Carson. Careful, old fellow. Carson's up to something.
But it's very thoughtful of you to ring, Sally. Aubrey's quite all right. In fact, you'll probably be meeting him soon. He's in the same business as myself, you know.
Well, I feel so much better after hearing that he's all right. And I will look forward to meeting him.
I'll get in touch. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye, Bruce.
Carson, if that young lady wasn't checking up, then I'll eat my hat. Old and better though it may be.
Oh, I wouldn't jump to that conclusion, sir. After all, Sally's the type to be concerned at such things.
Concern is right. Concern that Dent might not be out of the way.
It's all very bewildering.
And you yourself have doubts, Carson. Especially when you go to the trouble of making up a story to assure her that Dent is all right.
Customary precautions, sir.
You're reluctant to suspect her, old fellow.
So, Sir Giles, I'm afraid I am.
Well, we shall all wait about patiently and hear what friend Aubrey Dent has to say. Let's hope it won't be too long.
It was the following morning before Aubrey was in a fit state to sit up and talk. He was cheerful in spite of all that he'd been through, though very grim when we got down to business. He began by checking through the story that we'd sent to London on Sally Bruin, the story of how she had come to be in South America.
Bruin was her father, she claims.
Yes, that's right, Aubrey. Met her mother when he was studying in England. Sally was taken to Europe as a babe, but the strange surroundings didn't suit her mother, and so the marriage more or less broke up.
And wasn't there something about Bruin being obsessed with his work?
Yes, sir. That contributed largely to the rift. But the years passed. When the Second World War came, Bruin remained in Europe, then joined the band of scientists who escaped to this part of the world.
And then Bruin started to think about this daughter of his.
Sir, made inquiries through some agent. Sally was located, told the whole story, then joined her father out here.
And you found her in some ancient ruins deep in the jungle.
That's it. More or less surrounded by hostile savages, and with Bruin himself dying a lingering death.
Did it ever occur to you that she may have been planted there?
Planted, you say?
That's what I say, cousin.
That very thought has crossed my mind many a time.
Oh, but how could she have been planted? For instance, there was a deep bond of affection between father and daughter.
All right, then. But how is Bruin to know whether she really was his daughter or somebody else?
Exactly. Oh,
but why go to such incredible lengths to plant her, as you say?
Wouldn't it be a very convenient way of having someone to keep a check on you? After all, she knows practically everything you do.
Look, Aubrey, is this just mere conjecture?
No, cousin.
Not, eh?
With the photograph as a start, we made a check. We located A. Sally Bruin, a rather plain miss, quite innocent of where her father might be, what part he might have taken in this grim affair.
Then our Sally's not Sally Bruin.
She is not. In fact, she's quite a girl.
This is all very difficult to believe.
She was an actress, Melinda Cowan.
Actress?
And a very good one, if I might say so.
Good in her present role, perhaps, but frustrated, embittered by her failure in the theatrical world. That is why she fell so easily into this role.
All right, then. Who does she represent? The freelancers? The continental power?
Neither.
Some other power, perhaps?
I suppose we might well describe him as a power. You see, cousin, from what we've been able to unearth, she was recruited by Charco himself.
I found it almost impossible to believe that Sally could be associated with Charco. There was something terrifying in the thought of her using such sweetness and innocence for such a dark purpose. But she was to lead us a dance yet in Operation Death Ray.